Hi, this is Dean Rader, and I am thrilled to be reading this poem entitled Labor for Triquarterly. I am 15. It is the summer of 1982. I'm working illegally at the Sonic Drive-In, Weatherford, Oklahoma. I am a car hop, and as such, I am required to wear a Sonic baseball hat, the front two quadrants of which are made of some sort of soft foam. The rest of the hat is mesh. The hat's bill feels squishy, like the tater tots I carry to the car in Bay 3, a tow truck to be precise. I see, as I reach out to hook the tray onto the driver's window, that the woman in the passenger seat is crying into a knot of Kleenex. She is also wearing a hat, the one mandated of all employees at the local McDonald's franchise. She works the drive-through. I am thinking many things as the driver, a man I do not know, minds his pockets, the glove compartment, the space between the vinyl seats for the amount needed to pay for the tater tots, the cherry limeade, and the vanilla Coke. My memory is $1.72. I think of a boy my age in some place I can only think of, a place like India or Colombia, and what he would have to do in that country to earn $1.72 in 1982. The man does not have enough money to pay for the food and drinks, and he asks if I can take the Coke back. "We'll share the limeade," he says to the boy holding the tray, and to the girl still weeping, the hat still in her lap. In 1982, if a person were to start his car back out of the bay at the Sonic, make a left onto Main Street, and head west to the nearby on-ramp of Interstate 40, he might get on the highway and drive west toward Elk City, Sayre, Erick, and look out his window, and in any direction he might see as many as 30 oil rigs at one time. And he might wonder about the men, where they were on their 14-hour shift, the hard paste on their skin, the enormous greased chain whipping around the dark shaft of the drill. That man might wonder about drilling, about the future of oil, about the cost of the gas in his tank, about how oil became petroleum, and so he will not consider the young man from Watonga whose left foot was crushed in the early dawn when the drill bit slipped off the coupler as it emerged from the hole in the ground nearly 100 times the length of his truck. He will not think of the crew chief, the ambulance driver, the ER doctor, the scrambling, screaming roughnecks, the truckers charging past, the highway patrolmen arriving at the scene, or their fathers who poured the asphalt for the highway 30 years before, or the men who will haul the heavy barrels of sludge, the farmer who sold his land to the oil company, the backhoe driver who dug the first hole, the paramedic in the back of the ambulance, unsure of what she'll see. The driver will not think of the man at the wheel of the tow truck who was called to the scene of an accident at an oil rig to haul the victim's car back to town. He will not think of the girl who took an extra job mopping the floors of the Weatherford General Hospital one morning a week to make extra money for her college fund, or what she said when she saw her brother, who should be at work, hurried into the emergency room, his Wranglers sliced up the side and his entire leg wrapped in red rags, or what her father said to her in Bay 3 of the Sonic Drive-In as she described what it was like to arrive at an oil rig accident to do his job. And the driver will certainly not think of the boy at the Sonic violating the Fair Labor Standards Act in the summer of 1982, or what this boy will remember at his desk 32 years later, lost in an impossible task that almost no person would consider work.